Bob Woodward, welcome back to your home state. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You know, your most recent book that came out last fall, The Last of the President's Men, you called it, in a way, a warning, because you said during interviews during your book tour that maybe we missed Nixon, and by that, the person that he was. And I wonder, now that we're a week away from the Iowa caucuses, traditionally a time when I think people across the country are starting to really pay attention to presidential candidates, what are we missing now?
Well, this is the problem with the way politics is covered now. It's polling, what they say, Donald Trump's most outrageous statement or whatever is going on. And we skip over the real question I think voters are asking, which is, who are these people? And so what we in the media should be doing, yes, you have to cover the polls and what they say. That's essential. But that should be about half. The other half should be what their background is. Biography is character. And you really need to tell who these people are. And if you go back to Nixon, certainly we didn't know who he was and learned through Watergate and the investigations and his secret taping system that there was a criminality. He was a criminal president. And a lot of people say about Bill Clinton, we didn't know enough, or same about George W. Bush, the same about Barack Obama, because they kind of come on the scene suddenly, all three of them, and it's quite astonishing how much then comes out later about their pasts. And, you know, so what do we want to do? We want to get in a position where in the media we can say on election day, the full story, what we call a best obtainable version of who these candidates are, is available. And if we're, you know, doing this kind of gas bag stuff on the air, particularly television and radio and in the newspapers, trying to predict the future, well, the future, no one's ever really been that good at it. They've tried.
And well, when you think about people who've come on the scene, certainly you think of Donald Trump, now the presumptive front runner for the Republican Party. And I'm curious about the statements he's made that many news outlets, including your Washington Post, have said are completely incorrect or completely inaccurate. And I wonder what you think, when you square his status with what the media has said about what he said, what do you think that says about the relevance of the news media with the general American public?
Well, look, we are relevant. We provide data to people. I would argue that's what people want. And it is polarized now, so people listen to certain radio stations or TV stations or read certain news in newspapers and online that kind of fits with their preconceived notion. But I still think there are a lot of people who want it straight, want the facts. But all of these people, no one has been in the public eye more than Donald Trump for longer. He's actually been in the public eye more than Hillary Clinton, and she's really been in the public eye since the late 80s. And so there is a biographical story there to tell people. And we've done this on occasion at the Post and really been able to tell people about things. But you have to write long and you have to do the detailed reporting. And look at Trump. It's the classic follow the money. I would love to read a six-part series, how Donald Trump made his billions. And it may be negative, it may be positive. I think people need and cry out for the facts.
You mentioned the tone of politics in Washington right now. And when I think about the perspective you have, how much the partisan nature of politics has changed over your time in Washington. And I wonder how you would compare that with what's going on here in Illinois, which, by the way, is your home state. If people do not know, you grew up in Wheaton, where we have a Republican governor and a Democrat Speaker of the House who have dug in so much that the state has been operating without a budget for 8 months.
Yes, and is that in the public interest? Obviously, no. You have to make a deal. I mean, this is the problem in Washington for so long in the Obama presidency. But I think if you look at the budget deal they came up with last fall, actually makes sense, kept things going for a long time. People had to compromise. When you learn to compromise, you've matured. And a lot of people in politics think, oh, no, you have to lay down the line and not compromise. But anyone who's ever been in a negotiation knows you don't get all you want, and you're going to have to give some. That means spending time to get to know people. Are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Okay, but if you talk to people who are married or have relationships, it's a negotiation, isn't it? Marriage is, to a certain extent, and you have to spend a lot of time and you have to give ground. And to Obama and Speaker Ryan's credit, they made a deal last fall.
I think we certainly know you as more of a modern presidential expert. But given your talk tonight is about President Lincoln and sort of Lincoln in the 21st century, I wonder, as you were thinking about what you were going to speak about tonight, is there something about President Lincoln that stood out to you?
Well, what I knew about Lincoln until I agreed to do this was minuscule. So I've read some books and done some research and looked, and what I'm going to attempt to do tonight is distill out what Lincoln's chief characteristics were, personal and political, and then take the eight presidents that I've written books about, reported for the Washington Post on, from Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama, and I'm going to go through and say these are the lessons some of these presidents learned from Lincoln that helped them, and some things they failed to follow the Lincoln model and hurt them.
Do you think they are characteristics that they have in common? Of our modern presidents have?
No, I think if you look at it in the theme of what I'm trying to do is that Lincoln turns out to be the most modern of presidents.
I wanted to ask you, last December, I have a lot of friends at the Post, and when the move happened, my Facebook feed was full of everybody packing up their desks and talking about the move. Did you have to clean out your own desk? What was that like?
I had a lot of stuff there, but I do most of my work at home now and have office there and an assistant who works there. But it was very emotional. This is the newsroom of Watergate, of Bradley, and it's changed, but you could see remnants of it. And it was a sense of history moves on. I think it's great that history moves on. It's a new building, a new owner, Jeff Bezos, the founder, CEO of Amazon, somebody I've known for years who cares about the news and has vowed he's going to make sure that the money is available to do these kind of biographical profiles of the main candidates.
So maybe we're going to see a six-part series following the money.
Maybe 16.
Okay. And, you know, I think this was a long time ago, but you said once that maybe those of us in this business are increasingly not up to the task of being good at explaining what's going on. And I think especially now as we think about, as you said, history moving on and so much of journalism being driven by the technology that's out there now, do you feel more or less optimistic about our industry?
I basically feel optimistic. And it's not just the explaining, it's the reporting, the facts. I mean, just hypothesize for a moment that you had all the facts about the presidential candidates or the budget deadlock here in Illinois, the full story, the documents, the memos, the emails, the strategy sessions, then you would know what's going on and probably be able to explain it and assess it. But the absence of the hard data, a lot of reporting is like science, and you have to really get into the nitty-gritty. I've done two books on Obama, one on his foreign policy, one on the budget deals. And I had the luxury of time to get notes, interview him extensively, interview the cabinet people involved, go back and present a pretty credible, exhaustive portrait of actually what happened now. I think the problem with it is I have so much detail. It's kind of like a long movie. But if anyone's interested, it's the kind of story you can only get if you have years to work on.
All right. Well, maybe you'll get some takers. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.